teaching me one, I'd just like to talk about the Caribbean season in South Florida. So basically there are two questions about this title. So what kind of Caribbean seasons are we going to optimize, and how to optimize the Caribbean season, and why? Basically, to answer those two questions, I'd like to give some background about the climate, soil, and environment in that area. And based on the area with the particular climate and particular soil and particular environment, we think that those three practices are most important, especially the cow crops and the crop rotation with cow crops. So that's my main focus for today. So just to show you some vegetables growing in subtropics in South Florida. Actually, with those favorite weather climate, all those vegetables can grow very well in South Florida, like tomatoes, sweet corn, eggplants, beans, and squash, cucumber, and this is the okra. Maybe in the north part of the U.S., maybe they don't know what they are. The okra is a very good vegetable. And also some easy vegetables like beet melon and the chili pepper. And it's a long bean. Some guys call it long bean, it's Indian eggplant. Those kind of vegetables also can grow over there very well. So that's the background. However, there are some challenges in that area because it's a subtropical climate and it's very hot during summer and lots of rain, especially during summertime. That's why the growers grow vegetables during wintertime, not in the summer. You have to think about it in different way. In the north, you have to grow vegetables and everything in the summer, but there, summer is off the season. We have to think about that. So the soil is very, very poor, and the aquifer is very shallow. It's close to the ocean. We have to think about it every place. That's the reason that the federal government project with set up the guidelines. Water total phosphorus is 10 parts per billion. We have to think about that. That's a very particular environment in that area. Also, we have to think about the Biscayne Bay and the Florida Bay as the conservation. Any pesticide, the fertilizer can get into that bay, get into the ocean. That'll be a big issue. So look at the rainfall. It's pretty high, about 60 inches annually, but almost 80% occurred during the summertime from June to October. But think about this period is off-season for the vegetables. If they leave the land fallow, what will happen just like this? So nutrient will be leached out, and you got a lot of the soil is very poor soil, and after the nutrient leach down, the farmers have to put more fertilizer into their land. So that's a problem, that's a challenge for the climate. And the soil looks like this. I feel sorry for that, but we have to call it soil. It's very, very particular soil. That's just after summer, because a lot of rain just leaches down, the fine particles leave those rocks on the surface. That's the soil we have. It's actually the dominant soil. And also sandy soil, that's the main part as well. Somewhere, small area, there's some marl soil. It's in some lower area, just a lot of water there, it's very small part. But those two are mainly dominant soils. And what the problem with those soil is just that actually you can understand that the soil, the rotation capacity is very low, and it's very readily to get the nutrient leaching down. So we have to increase the improve the soil fertility for those two soils. And for the farmers, they have to use fertilizer. Without fertilizer, with those poor soils, nothing can grow, right? So we have to use fertilizers, that's for sure. And runoff and leaching by the flooding is the main issue. We have to think about that, try to find some solution to reduce the nutrient leaching and runoff. So to do that, well, I just put some, not individual experiments, I just put some several experiments together to summarize the result. And before that, I just talk about the environment in that area. It's actually, there's the South Florida we are going to talk about. And this area is just around here, it's agriculture. Mainly, it's agriculture as well. However, below the agriculture is a natural ecosystem, just like this. And the national park, Everglades National Park, and the Florida Bay is here. So anything from agriculture area can just can impact the environment and get into the Everglades. That's the main issue. That's why we have to reduce the nutrients, to reduce the pesticides. Our agriculture practices have to meet the criteria of the 10 parts per billion total phosphorus in the water. To do that, actually, we think about the environment, we have to reduce irrigation to try to optimize the irrigation. All those kind of irrigation measures can be used, like big gun and sprinklers and those kind of things. But we think the drip irrigation for the fruit vegetables is the best choice. However, we still need to optimize the reach. With the 2 years experiment, we found out that when we reduce the irrigation reach, the less water we put on, the higher yield we got for the tomatoes. It's because of negative, think about that way. The 30 kick part actually is the lowest reach. Because the soil is so poor, if you just put too much water in the soil, you leach down your nutrients. That's the main reason. We reduce the rate and increase the tomato yield. And also we apply some soil amendments like compost is organic mulch in this way, and also we use zeolite to retain the nutrients in the soil. We have to know that how much the nutrient can be retained in the soil. We use this latimeter buried under the ground. During the growth season, we just pump out the leaches and to do the chemical analysis. The result showed us that with the series of soil nutrients, actually coal fly ash can just reduce the concentration in the leaches, means retain the phosphorus in the soil. That's the best choice among those soil amendments. So let's move also the organic mulch can just improve the soil fertility. For example, just water holding capacity. This plastic mulch is a conventional practice in that area. Organic mulch is OM. And the first number means the year, how many years for the experiment. And the last number is the reach, the metric tons per hectare. So actually we can see, generally, the more compost we put on, the water holding capacity can be improved. And also the yield can be, tomato yield can be increased, especially when you put a lot more compost and more years compared with on 2 years with 25 metric tons per hectare. It's almost get the same yield with compared with plastic mulch. So let's move to the cover crops. Actually, cover crops can conserve soil and water, can capture the soil nutrients and make them available because with that favorite weather, they can decompose very quickly, can supply the nutrients to the catch crops. And also, the cover crop can reduce soil nutrients runoff and leaching for sure, because during summer, just think about it, in the fallow, it's just so much rain, we just leach everything out. But with the cover crop, you cover the land, definitely conserve soil and water. So with cover crops, we have done we tried several cover crops in the area for several years. Sometimes, and we compare with sorghum to land grass, which is not legume, it's a legume. And we have this is Bob the Bean and copy, and compared with the fellow, we just mowed the cover crops during the fall before the growing season. And we found out that Sondheim is the best one. In that poor soil, actually just like this, it can accumulate a large amount of biomass. And also it's very tolerant to the flooding. So in that area, we need the cover crops can tolerate low soil fertility, can tolerate the flooding, because those are main issues in that area. And also cover crops can hold the nutrients, especially nitrogen. We can see that in the lychee, the fallow is pretty high, but with cover crops, pretty low. Compared with the different cover crops, we can understand that Sondheim is the best one because it accumulates a large amount of biomass to cover the land densely. So actually, there's no significant difference between those cover crops, but compared with fallow, the significant difference can reduce the nutrient. And cover crops can accumulate a large amount of biomass, especially the Sondheim. It's robust, it's total biomass, about 12 metric tons per hectare. And the red lines means the total nitrogen accumulation. About 350 kilograms per hectare of the nitrogen can be accumulated by the Sondheim. Compared with the Sondheim, only about 50 or less than 50. So cover crop can just increase the crop yield. Especially Sondheim and coffee, you can see that tomato yield can be increased dramatically. And also the tomato quality can be improved too. And the okra, just I talk about that just like this, is a very valuable vegetable in that area. And also those two cover crops especially can improve the okra yield. And also, we found out some cover crops can suppress nematodes in that area, especially the root gout nematodes, because for Sondheim. And look at the rotation, if you just grow okra and okra, you got a lot of nematodes. But after Sondheim you grow okra, you have nothing here. It's pretty good practice. So compared with the rotation, okra all the time, you got a large amount of root gout, but definitely the Sondheim can suppress nematodes, but look at this. Grow Sondheim between okra, you have nothing. You got a lot of the benefit from that. So simply we can summarize that optimize the irrigation, we can just optimize the yield, the production in that area. And the grow cover crops can definitely improve your the soil fertility, can reduce nutrient leaching and accumulate large amount of biomass and nitrogen. And soil amendments and organic mulch can improve soil fertility. And finally, and more importantly, the cropping systems need growers participate. That's all. Thank you very much.